5. Troops in contact. Stand by for assault. 5-0, enemy troops in the open. Grid 1-8 Zulu, Bravo Foxtrot. 0-9-1-1, 2-0-0-1. No cash requested at this time. If it's available, you can send a phone. But I think we got this.
Everybody, this is Jeffrey Armadillo, Mother Forker, and this is Mother's Brother Hour. And my guests tonight are Mike Kenny, Justin Hoover, and Matt Nelson from Warriors Ascent. And this is going to be a really good show because these guys are doing some really cool stuff, or I should say Warriors Ascent, their organization, is doing some really cool stuff. And we're going to be talking about some healing warriors, and they got some interesting methods and approaches to that. So let's get into it. So, Mike, Justin, Matt, you all there?
Yes, I'm here, Matt.
Good evening, Jeff.
All right.
Yeah,
all right, good. Okay, that sounds good. Hey, listen, tonight while we're talking, if you speak up, just use like radio procedures. Just say, hey, this is Mike, this is Matt, this is Justin. And then launch into it so that we all know and the listeners know who's talking, okay?
Sounds good.
Absolutely. This is Mike. Sounds good.
All right. Okay, so let's start off. You guys tell us a little bit about each of you, and then we're going to get into talking about Warriors Ascent, what it is, how it got started, and the vision and goals and how it reaches out and touches veterans. So, who wants to go first?
One of you two guys, age before beauty.
Yeah, no, this is Mike. I'll go first. I'll be brief. Yeah, hey, I'm Mike Kenny. I'm the executive director for Warriors Ascent. I am a 22-year Army veteran, retired Special Forces lieutenant colonel. Started out in the infantry, 3187, 101st, went to 1st Special Forces Group. And ended up at Leavenworth as an instructor, not incarcerated, by the way. Was an instructor there for a spell, both at SOF LD&E, so Special Operations Leader Development and Education, and also the School of Advanced Military Studies. Upon my retirement, was asked if I wanted to be a part of a great organization, Warriors Ascent, that helps veterans and first responders with PTS. I responded in the affirmative. And the rest is history. So on that, we'll pivot now to Matt.
Yeah, this is Matt. I retired in 2013 from the military. I was a first group guy like Mike Kenny. That's how we know each other. I retired in 2013, went on, got my MBA from UNC Chapel Hill. I spent the last couple of years in the transition process, and I got a great landing here, an opportunity at Warriors Ascent. I'm the chief operating officer. And I've been loving every minute of it. It's a great organization, and we do great things.
And then this is Justin. I was an infantryman with the 25th Infantry Division Striker Brigade Combat Team. Did a tour in Iraq and then got out of the Army in 2006. Came here to Kansas City where I've been doing marketing work for entrepreneurships and and not-for-profits for about 10 years. Last September, actually went through Warriors Ascent program, so I'm an alumni, then kind of came on as the marketing director and last November.
Good. All right. So Warriors Ascent, and again, Warriors Ascent is kind of, so Warriors Ascent came up on my radar, I think, about 2 years ago, and you guys have come on strong really quick, and you seem to be really squared away. You've got a, you know, quite a robust staff, more so than most organizations, and we'll talk about the ins and outs and what you guys have learned and what Warriors Ascent as an organization has learned, lessons learned and all that stuff, and pros and cons and things to do and things to avoid. But so tell us, so Mike Kenny, tell us about what is Warriors Ascent?
Well, Warriors Ascent, we're a 501c3 nonprofit organization that helps veterans and first responders with PTS. So first responders, that's police, firefighters, and EMS. So really, that, you know, that is our purpose, our mission, what it is that we do. What we like to say is we provide our participants the tools they need to heal and tend the mind, body, and soul. So ours is a holistic approach, 5 days out at the Heartland Center off of 45 Spur. It's the Heartland Presbyterian. We are we're non-denominational, you know, so we don't force religion on anybody, even though the spiritual component of our program is still, I guess, an aspect of it, but we're not religiously affiliated. And our five-day program, we try to teach our participants good lifestyle habits, provide a therapeutic environment, and really set them on the path to healing. So by that, it's meditation is a prominent feature in what it is that we offer, and I think that's something the medical community can rally around. Yoga, intending the body, you know, to make sure that people are tending to their bodies and keeping themselves at least somewhat fit. You know, we even have a nutritional aspect to our program, not to foist fad diets on anybody, but we outsource to Paleo Fit because we feel that these are, you know, foundational aspects to good, clean living is exercising, tending the mind, and then also eating right. There's a therapeutic, you know, I'll say short of therapy per se, and I've been cautioned against that term by some of my therapists that work with us, but there are, I'll say, therapeutic aspects or components of our curriculum, of our program as well. Some, I'll say, ancient warrior ceremony type stuff, letters to the dead, leap of faith, and other such things, which I can explicate on later. And then lastly, just, you know, the sense of community. There's something to be said about being around other like-minded individuals with similar experiences and being intuitively understood, and especially the military being such an insular society, I'll say, or at least subset of society, to be with people that understand what it is that you've gone through and that can share those experiences with you and genuinely understand and share that with you is not something to be undervalued. And on the surface, it sounds very superficial, but actually it's very poignant and very therapeutic in its own right. So bottom line, we give our participants those tools and a community as well in our alumni network. And as a testament to the efficacy of the program, we have a good number of our alumni come back as mentors that help out in the administration of our program. So I think that says a lot. You know, the proof is in the pudding. If they didn't feel it was a worthy program, if it didn't work for them, they would continue to be involved in it. And really our approach is to put our participants on the path to healing. Ultimately, we want to show them the way and be there for them. But the onus is on them to take ownership of their own healing process, and we'll accompany them on the journey. But ultimately, it's their journey to walk. And Jeff, that's it in a nutshell. So at that point, I'll be quiet and field any further questions, unless you want to pivot to somebody else.
Well, we'll open it up to questions at the half hour. But anyway, so Justin, the spiritual component. Now, sometimes, you know, some veterans, especially a lot of guys are going to have a hard time with a spiritual component and with holistic and all that. So can you tell us, how do you guys show up and they're like, what the hell are we doing here? What the hell is holistic? What the fuck is that? So How do you get over that hump? Is that ever an issue? How is that handled?
Sure, Jeff. It is a large issue. Just we are in such a hyper-masculine culture that,
right.
as Mike said, the moment you throw out terms like meditation or yoga, you just have guys that are like, that sounds like hippy-dippy bullshit, and I want no part of it.
Right.
As Mike kind of touched on, these really kind of are steaming from ancient warrior cultures. And, you know, that's kind of something – these are Spartans and samurai, Vikings, Knights Templars. These different ancient cultures, I mean, the whole community would go off to war or was part of that. And so returning, it was a lifelong vocation, and so you needed to have those individuals come back into the community, and we don't have that anymore. So those ceremonies and those rituals that the whole community would take part of, you know, now, with 1% serving, our community doesn't know what to do with us, doesn't know really how to give us that. And so really we're not inventing anything new. The meditation is nothing new. And so, yeah, day one, there are quite a few people that show up and they kind of are apprehensive. They're not sure if they're in the right place. It's really a lot of trust building. And really, it just takes one to kind of be vulnerable and trust the process. And once that kind of opens, everyone else sees, well, shit, I'm not the only person experiencing this. This is
right
beyond just me. It's a human thing. And so really, by day two, it's amazing to see how these individuals come together and really bond over their shared experiences.
Right. And so, and that makes a lot of sense. And I, you know, and I went out and observed me and another veteran friend, I think that was last month. Matt, when was that? Was that last?
Yeah, it was last month. Yep, March.
But I think that was Wednesday, so that was halfway through the week. And I was amazed. Well, I wasn't amazed. I mean, the group seemed to be very cohesively bonded. So, but building that trust has, you know, you can assume that's got to be right off the bat. You got to build that trust within the group, just like putting together a unit or even a team, whatever. It's not necessarily a military thing. So, is it easier? Do you think it's easier having veterans to build that trust and the law enforcement, and the firemen, because they think maybe they have a more in common than with other non-military, non-law enforcement and fire first responder types?
Sure, Jeff. This is Justin again. You know, it's interesting because it's really kind of the diversity of our group that makes that that kind of helps move that to realizing that this is a human problem. I mean, you can get a bunch of veterans around, and at some point, the VA comes up, and everyone likes to bitch about the VA because it's an easy target. And it's easy to kind of become, oh, well, this is things that just happened to us in the military, you know, kind of that broken mentality. So having that range, we have Vietnam vets that come through. We have, you know, fairly young police officers and EMS. And it really helps break it down that this is not just a military thing. This is really something that can happen to any human that suffers a traumatic event, and especially prolonged traumatic events, as our participants, most of them have. And so really by day three, what you witnessed, the leap of faith, I equate it a lot. When you're in combat, you trust each other because you're all vulnerable. You're willing to be vulnerable to gunfire for one another. This is kind of the same, you know, different vulnerability, but you're willing to do that for one another and hold one another in that capacity. And so that's really why by day three you have these individuals that become so strong and really go on to many of them having lifelong bonds that you wouldn't think in 5 days could be achieved.
Right.
Jeff, this is Matt.
But,
you know, one of the things we do also, we have this concept of unconditional positive regard, and that is really one of the things that kind of really we set the standard and set the course for them at the very beginning, and people feel like there's free and open exchange of what's really going on, and nobody's judging, and that really helps people to tell their story and get their story out because they don't feel like anybody's judging, and it's very positive in our approach.
Good. Well said. So, and Matt, so tell us about how do you find, how do you select participants that get involved in your program? So tell us about that.
You're talking about the instructors or the recruits, the students?
Well, with the students, the recruits, the participants, whatever, but both. It sounds like a lot of your participants end up being mentors or instructors.
Well, okay, so right now we do a lot of different things with marketing with Justin, and Mike goes out as well. So we're trying to do a lot of different things. We do social media, and we try to market in our social media terms and get some of our messages out through Facebook and those types of things. We also start to go to American Legions, VFWs, police departments, and local colleges. And we're looking for veterans, we're looking for firemen, we're looking for law enforcement, and it's really kind of knocking on their door, telling our story, and getting people out. We also have some great advocates. And those advocates are out there every day talking, and they're usually our alumni, and they say, hey, this really helped me, you should go. And that's really how we're doing a lot of our recruiting is through our alumni. They talk to a friend and buddy who's facing a similar problem, and they say, you need to go. And then they sign up on our list, and we kind of bring them in.
So what about selection and vetting? And I mean, do you ask for a 214, DD-214, who's qualified? Who's welcome to participate in the program?
I'm gonna let Mike handle that question. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay.
Yeah, no, we've discussed DD-214 in terms of the vetting process, and there are pros and cons to both. I mean, at this point, we kind of take them at their word. And the reason being is, you know, there's the veteran angle, but then there's also the first responder angle. So,
That's true.
First responders are not going to have DD-214, so we wanted something common to all. We've never really had any issues. Every once in a while, you'll get some one-upsmanship, right? You'll get some people either, you know, comparing war stories or I've had more deployments. And then every once in a while, you'll get somebody that you suspect is telling some tall tales. They're either, you know, really young guys, and they'll talk about, you know, all the soft stuff that they've done, and you're like, come on, you're like 22, 23, you know. And you know, we all know you got the X-ray, the 18 X-ray program, which, you know, changes that dynamic a bit, and it might be possible. But, you know, a lot of times you can really kind of ferret out the guys that are, you know, for lack of a better word, bullshitting, you know, and that does kind of, I'll say, sully the experience, taint the experience when people aren't being genuine. But by and large, our vetting process is really pretty good. So bottom line is they'll submit an application via our website. That's the first step. And we really want them to at least display that level of commitment, because sometimes we'll get, whether it's board members or other members, they'll say, oh, you got to get this guy in the program. He's a great candidate. And what my response is always, no, they need to get on the site and they need to apply. So it's almost like, in many regards, you know, SFAS, right? I mean, the first step is apply. Nobody's going to reach out to you and say, hey, well, let me take you by the hand. It's like you've got to go through that process because you have to have at least a degree of investment through all gates. This is no different. So that's one.
Right.
Once they're rostered or once they're on the list, our outreach guy, Jay Waldo, who's one of the co-founders, good guy, he does a really good job, I think, of assuaging their inhibitions, answering any of their questions, and really getting a feel for who they are and what their story is. So he's really done a very, very good job, in my assessment, of getting good quality people that are of the right pedigree and right circumstance. And by that, I mean, we want people that are going to be receptive to what it is that we're teaching. But I will be honest with you, we are not outfitted in terms of providers and skills to handle people that are drug-addled, have substance abuse issues, are, you know, psychotic, very violent, things of that nature. I mean, we just don't have the skills for that. We need, I like to say, we kind of need people that are at least somewhat flat and stable, you know, and by that, I don't mean that they're perfect and good. Otherwise, they wouldn't have a need for our services. But we need somebody that's not going to be a liability to himself and others. And I think Jay does a really good job of that. So I'll stop there.
Well said. So how about a couple of things. So there must be those guys that show up and are a little resistant or very resistant, and then also the bullshitters. But sometimes the bullshitters can be good guys. And typically, you're right, you see this in younger guys that they feel like, I got to embellish a little bit so that because I'm in here with all these badasses and I got to embellish. And I mean, how do you handle that, and how do you handle the guys that are really resistant?
Well,
Jeff,
this is Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
I'll just be brief, and then Justin, yeah, please weigh in. No, bottom line is we've weighed that too, because sometimes we have that, you know, the container, the unconditional positive regards. Very trust is a big component of that, as Matt and Justin have both outlined. So, you know, trust and non-judgment, you know. So bottom line is people should come in knowing that they're not going to be judged. Those are the conditions that we attempt to set. When people violate that, it is a little bit precarious, you know, in that you kind of feel like if somebody's not being genuine, it kind of calls into question, you know, a good portion of the experience. And we've weighed some of those options too, in that, you know, do you look at asking if somebody's not going to be truthful and you kind of get a sense of it? You know, should we ask them to leave, or, you know, what should we do? Should we call them out on it? And, you know, there are no really good answers, you know, because number one, we don't want to evict, you know, somebody, you know, and say, hey, you can't come here because we don't think you're being truthful or you're putting on airs, because, you know, those people need our help, you know, but at the same time,
right,
it needs to be addressed. So we try to address it, you know, via the mentors, where they'll pull them aside very subtly and just remind them
right.
that, hey, you don't have to pretend you're something that you're not. And more often than not, that's more than sufficient. And you know, for those other participants, and this has happened with me, you know, some have come up to me and said, you know, I don't think this guy is legit, or I think he's telling tall tales. I'll remind them that,
right.
hey, probably a younger guy, he needs some help, you know, forgive him his indiscretions, we'll deal with it as best we can, but, you know, he's another soldier, you know, or veteran that needs help too, and always be mindful of that.
Right. Sure.
So.
Yeah,
okay,
Jeff,
so
just,
go ahead.
Just kind of touch on that. Part of the process is kind of denying that environment. You know, war stories are really not encouraged. And part of that is just you never know how it will affect someone else in the group. You know, it might be kind of a mundane war story for you, but it could be a hugely traumatic experience for someone else, very similar.
Right.
And so that's kind of denied in and of itself. I mean, the guys in my class that I went through, you know, you could kind of empathize with what they were going through. You both knew, hey, we were in the same country or we were in, you know, similar conflicts. And you could kind of tell, like, hey, based off their job, like what their kind of experiences were. But even now, I still don't know the nuts and bolts of what happened during their deployment most of the time. You know, there
right.
might be little inklings here and there. So that's kind of part of how we work, you know, those that may be accustomed to one-upmanship or, you know, feel the need that they need to step up. For those that are resistant, it's challenged by choice. I mean, it's really for them, and they end up coming around, and it really is kind of throughout the process because you are developing trust with 15 other strangers that you've never met. And these are, you know, for a lot of people, kind of their deepest, darkest secrets and things that they hold most dear that they have been afraid to tell anyone else. And you're really asking them to trust you. And sometimes that takes a little bit. But really, from my experiences, everyone's come around and everyone's gotten there by the end.
Yeah. Okay, so, well said. That's a good answer. So, Matt, so I got a question for you, and this kind of goes back to some other things that were already said. So Mike was talking about how it's up to the each participant, student, what have you, to get onto the website and do it themselves. But I just know that there's got to be some guys that need some pushing. Often that's a spouse or a friend or a buddy who served with him or something like that, and that must happen too. So what do you do with those guys? And along with that, so how do you reach – what would you say to a guy? You meet him in a bar. You meet him at some veterans event. Hell, you meet him in a work event, and it comes up and you think, you know, this guy could probably be benefit a lot from Warrior's Ascent, but his attitude is, I got this. I can handle this, which is the classic, you know, I don't need any help. I'm not a weak sister. How would you respond to that?
Well, I think we start off – this is Matt. I think we start off and really talk about what we do. And we talk about the Warrior's Ascent, and we talked about mind, body, and soul. But we also provide a community.
Right.
And when you see a lot of transitioning veterans, what are the two things you lose when you leave the military in a lot of cases? You lose your community. You lose that purpose. And not to say that we
right.
give you back a purpose, but we start you on that healing process to where, you know, you're starting to feel good. You're starting to get your energy levels back. And you have this revitalized spirit. And now you can re-engage the community, and we provide that alumni network. And that alumni network is very valuable because now he's like, man, I have a place where I belong. And that is so powerful for our program, and it's done a great wonder for so many people. We have such a high turnover rate from going through the class and actually participating in the alumni network. If I had to say one thing that it just really kills it, it's that. And once you get that connection back, you're able to, you know, improve your relationship with your spouse, your kids' relationships is better. And then you start getting that purpose back. It's like, hey, I've got something to live for, I've got something to work for, and I want things. So that's really what I kind of talk about. Hey, this is my experience when I went through the class as a witness, and it helped me. You know, there's the big T, the big trauma, and little trauma. So it doesn't matter where you're at in that spectrum, there might be something that's holding you back from meeting your full potential. And that's what we kind of pitch and we talk about. And when they show up, they might be down. They might be, you know, the faces you can tell, they're beaten down a little bit. But by day three, they're perking up. And by the end, they're really understanding what joy is. I mean, we take them from this concept of feeling from shame to forgiveness to joy. And that's what we really accomplish in 5 days.
So I'm sure a lot of veterans who are listening now and listening later could really understand a lot of what you're saying. But often, do you guys ever have to talk about this to civilians who don't have a clue about any of this? And they may even want to, but they don't understand the issues that you're getting into with Warrior's Ascent. How do
sure,
you
yeah,
talk to us?
Hey, this is Mike. Let me just kind of double back and cover down on some of that. So, you know, the first thing, Jeff, you know, that we said about the application process, well, you know, first and foremost, our word of mouth marketing is really pretty powerful. So Justin's done a fantastic job in terms of our social media footprints and reach, but we hear time and again, it's word of mouth, especially through our, you know, police departments. So that's what we've got going for us in that regard. Getting back to your point about, you know, that demographic, especially with the military, where you've got your alpha males that are like, hey, you know, I've got this. I'm all over this. We've realized and we've seen that that's a problem too. And, you know, Justin and I in particular have had long conversations about how we reach out to people like that. Some of it is, and if I use business parlance, forgive me, because I know it's, you know, a nonprofit, but is the education selling piece. Because quite frankly, what we've seen is, with a lot of veterans, and we grapple with this because we try to penetrate that market, you know, in terms of reaching out to people so that they might avail themselves of our program. And what we've come to find is there's not that it's overly difficult, but you would think, hey, let's go to Riley, go here, go there, and we'll have tons of people come and show up. And what we've come to find when you do the analysis is it's not immediately upon separation or even in the military that people will come our way. It's usually years after. And the conclusion we've come to, our assessment, is that what happens, we think, is that most guys, they might know that something is awry and that they're not feeling right, but figure A, hey, I can handle it, and B, once I separate from the service, time and distance will heal me, will make me better, and, hey, give me a couple months or a year, and I'll be good. And what we've come to find is it's usually 2, 3, 4 years or longer once guys and gals have separated and they realize, you know, hey, I've been out and I am not getting any better. That's when they come to us. So that's the one thing. The other is we're trying to partner to the best of our ability, we'll see, with the VFW. And I know the VFW has embarked on their Five Signs campaign. And what they're trying to do is educate their members as to, you know, what are the signs and symptoms of PTS, personality change, you know, agitation, withdrawal, poor self-care, hopelessness. Bottom line is, anecdotally, we've had a variety of participants tell us that they themselves felt that they weren't a good candidate or that they were handling it or they didn't have PTS. And it was a spouse or loved one that pointed out to them that, hey, you're angry all the time. You don't like the things that you used to like. You're a different person, and you need help. And that is what precipitated them then getting on the website and you know, signing up for our program. So when I say I want commitment, a lot of times it's somebody else that points them in that direction. But what we don't want is somebody's spouse signing them up unbeknownst to them, you know, where it's that like, go to war or go to jail. I really don't want to be here, but my wife said she'd divorce me. Because those are not good candidates, because then they're really not invested in the program. They need to be invested in the process and the program. So that for what it's worth, is my perspective.
Cool. Hey, Justin, right now, so we're about halfway through. Can you tell us how people can reach out and find you, the website, Facebook pages, any social media, any ways that people can reach out and touch and connect with you guys, with Warriors Ascent?
Sure, Jeff. Yeah, our website is easy, warriorsascent.org. Facebook by the same name, at warriorsascent.org. At Warriors Ascent for Facebook. For Twitter, we're on YouTube as well. You know, basically a Google search for us, we're Google search away. We're pretty easy to find.
Cool. All right. You know, and another thing, this word of mouth, and because it really, I mean, you can't, I don't, social media is a big thing, but word of mouth, which often is what social media is all about. But I can think of several, I'm thinking of several organizations that you guys could be connected with, like, what are they called? Veteran Expeditions out in Colorado. Do you guys know about them?
No.
Veterans
I can't say that I'm aware of them. There's a few, you know, we know there's a few different nonprofits, you know, around. I mean, clearly, that's a blinding flash of the obvious. But a lot of them operate, I'll say, in the same type of space, but I've not heard of them.
Right. Well, Veterans Expeditions does a lot of the same stuff, but they're in Colorado and their focus is mountaineering. And they take veterans on climbs and stuff like that, and they do a lot of the same things you're doing, but they do it in the mountains. One of the main guys is, well, there's two SF guys. Josh Oakes is the only one I can think of. He got out as an O3. He was a detachment commander. I think he was a 10th group guy, so I don't know if you guys would know him, but I need to connect you guys. I need to write and make a note of that. Because one of the things that's really lacking, I think, is organizations being connected in networks that they can share resources and, you know, and share information and, you know, help to put vets where they need to be and, you know, for different types of programs and things like that. So, but there also needs to be kind of a platform, but I don't know what that is. Somebody's got to come up with something like that. So anyways, all right. So
Jeff, I think this is Justin. I think you bring up a good point. And, you know, I think a big part of that is VSOs finding their place in that pipeline for, you know, veterans wherever they are in their life cycle. Because anytime somebody's like, yeah, I'm kind of looking for something, you get plastered with 100,000 VSO. I mean, there's something for everybody, but really it's
right.
You have to stop and ask, what are you looking for? What are you needing help with?
Right.
Are you looking for recovery? Then that's kind of where we fit in. Now that you've gotten there, are you looking for purpose? All right, let's, you know, go find Team Rubicon. Let's go find Mission Continue.
Right.
Are you looking for kind of that recharge? All right, well, here's some fly fishing or a hunt or the hundreds of thousands of different opportunities. And so to your point, yes, but, I, you know, we need to as VSOs ourselves get better at asking, what do you need, so we can plug them into the right place.
Right. And then you need to know who's available that does that. Like you said, fly fishing. I don't know if you know, but there's a group in Kansas City that does fly fishing. They take veterans fly fishing. They're actually part of a national organization. And then we have the few here in town that does that takes veterans hunting and fishing. And but they're, you know, they do stuff all over the Midwest, but they're out of Kansas City and Oklahoma. But, you know, really it takes a guy who knows all the organizations and knows all the players. And, like, one guy I know is Mike Peterson. And he's the chapter president of the VFW in Lenexa, and in Lenexa, Kansas. And that guy, he's plugged in. He knows so many people in this town. But, you know, but it's all in his head. You know, so we got to figure out a way, again, to put that information out there so that anybody can quickly find that information and all the available organizations and resources and everything. There's people working on that. So Matt.
Yes.
What are the dynamics between the older guys, like the Vietnam guys, and the tweener, the guys between Vietnam and GWAT and Vietnam veterans and the Afghanistan and Iraq vets? Is that how does that look? Is that because I think a lot of Vietnam vets are like, well, he's a young kid, so we don't have anything in common. And they'll give me a lot of shit. That was your war, and this is our war. How does that play out?
I am surprised of how well it works. You'd think there'd be a big issue there, but from my observations, the last couple cohorts, that has not been a problem. I mean, people get along surprisingly well. I had someone in my cohort that was of the Vietnam era type, and we got along really well, and it was a really tight-knit group and a great cohort. It just has not been, from my perspective, an issue up to this point. They kind of, not like they're sharing their experiences per se, as in, hey, this is what happened in my wars. That doesn't happen. That's just not what we see in our cohorts. I mean, they'll talk about, you know, how they're feeling. They'll talk about some of their emotions. But besides that, it's really kind of a group dynamic about sharing.
Right. So how do you wait a minute, let me mention one thing really quick. Anybody listening out there, feel free to call in and talk to Mike and Justin and Matt, ask questions, share ideas. The call-in number is area code 646-716-8075, 646-716-8075. I just lost my thought. The facilitators, the trainers, like the guy with the great name, Walt Disney, how do you find those guys, and how do they do lesson plans? How do you prepare before each cohort, and how did you find those guys, and that whole process? Who wants to take that?
This is Mike. When I came on board, geez, this time last year, you know, the program was established with, I'll say, you know, many of them. So, you know, let's back up some. You know, first and foremost, Jay Waldo and Adam Majors, you know, they are the two founders. So this program was a spinoff from Save a Warrior from back when. We kind of parted ways. This was, I think, Save a Warrior's out in Malibu. We are headquartered here in Kansas City and serve the Kansas City area with designs on expanding. No, but what we did is I'll say, improved the program and lent a little bit more academic rigor to it by virtue of Adam's background in Jungian depth psychology. And he is the one that at least initially had the first, I'll say, pool of talent in terms of our providers. And then we evolved, you know, from that. But Walt Disney, as an example, was somebody that was in the alpha from the beginning. And when I went through the cohort, you know, back in, geez, February of last year, Walt was the one that presided, you know, as the clinician over my cohort. So, you know, obviously, you know, Walt Disney, Navy SEAL, licensed marriage and family counselor, and just great American all around. The others, you know, were acquisitions kind of as we went on, you know, and bottom line is we have a prescribed curriculum and method of doing things, right? So we've got different modules and blocks of instruction.
Right.
And we try to align instructors that we think will be able to teach those blocks of instruction. Some of them are very intuitive. Obviously, the yoga portion is taught by somebody who does yoga. That's pretty easy. You know, mindfulness, you know, we have some, you know, people that are at least have a background in meditation. I'll say the more therapeutic aspects of our curriculum obviously are taught by trained clinicians. We get for the body and healing, we've got an alum, former Marine, and, you know, a shout out to him. He's the proprietor, owner of Brave Enough CrossFit, Anthony Madonia. He comes and teaches functional fitness, trigger point release, basic nutrition, things of that nature. So he does that exceptionally well. The guy's a stud. So, you know, who better than a CrossFit, you know, gym owner or box owner to come and teach? You know, and then the rest are really our licensed clinicians. You know, we have a new acquisition, Ken Howard, friend of Walt Disney, who's been a licensed marriage and family counselor for, I think, 10, 15 years, you know, or something like that. So bottom line, without belaboring the heck out of it, which I've already done, we've got a good stable of talent, but we're always trying to increase our bench depth, and we're always trying to product improve with new acquisitions in terms of instructors and providers, you know, to keep things fresh and to provide redundancy as well.
Hmm. Cool. I like that. So – And I am hearing and seeing more and more articles and mentions about yoga and meditation and how they can benefit veterans and anybody actually, but in particular veterans. I'm seeing more on veteran blogs and things like that, but yoga and meditation. The thing is, there's so many, I think yoga is its own system, but there's lots of different styles of meditation. So how do you come at that? Justin, you want to talk about that?
Sure. Well, there's several different ways. And really, what the meditation does from a scientific standpoint, your amygdala is kind of the animal brain. And during combat, you know, we've gotten really good at the fight or flight. We've tied those nerve systems in really tight. So then when you get home and your kid does something stupid and you just fly off the handle at them, that's because you're bypassing the prefrontal cortex, which does your executive thinking, and goes straight to that amygdala. The good news is that with meditation and mindfulness, you can actually undo that and shrink the amygdala and increase your prefrontal cortex, get back your executive function. So next time they load the dishwasher the wrong way, you're like, hey, let's do some corrective action instead of flying off the handle. Mm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, finish what you're saying.
Oh, okay. You know, there's several different ways. We have a labyrinth, which we walk, and that's a very meditative experience. It's very mindful. It's a big circular maze, except it's not really a maze because there's no dead end. So you end up in the center. There's one way in, one way out. It takes 20 to 60 minutes to walk it, depending on your speed. And for a lot of people, by the time they reach the middle, you can just see them relaxing, and they've had time to process, and they've taken the time to really focus on what's bothering them. And then on the way out, you can kind of see even that prefrontal executive decision-making of, like, how can I kind of solve this problem? You know, they've overcome the emotion of anger, and now they're actually finding the source of it and looking at how they can solve it. Meditation, it can be as little as 20 minutes. I mean, if you're sitting there and it's really just a time where you're letting your mind kind of heal itself and really kind of think of what it needs. And it's who really takes 20 minutes where they don't have thoughts of like, oh, I got to pick up the kids in 20 minutes. I got to finish this report by tomorrow morning. You know, there's so many things that we are honestly always on all the time that's really the destructiveness. So that 20 minutes a day breaks that cycle and is really healing.
So what you're saying is getting onto a regular, semi-regular routine of yoga, meditation, whatever, and Labyrinth, that's pretty cool because I know a lot of religions use Labyrinth for like moving meditation. And exercise and good diet, you can actually reprogram your brain to be less on fire and fired up with the fight or flight and to be more more adapted to a non-combat environment.
Exactly.
Right,
and it's amazing because the brain scans that they now are using is really taking this from, well, it just feels better to an actual scientific result that this is working and this is scientifically proven. Which
cool.
For, you know, a lot of veterans, that's what they need to hear. They need to hear that this isn't just a touchy-feely goodness, but this is something that science says, you're going to get better if you do this versus drinking yourself in the bottle or taking the pills or isolating yourself or all the other stupid things that we do to stay in our safe place where we don't have to be vulnerable and have to work through things.
Right. Yeah, and so transition, isolation, feeling alone, that's a common theme with veterans. It comes up a lot on this show. So another, you know, if any of you guys, I'm sure you guys, probably all of you know about the book that came out last year, Tribe by Sebastian Younger.
Yep. Yes.
It is a great book. And it gets at it, and it's only like 130 pages or something like that. And it really succinctly gets into a lot of the topics we're talking about and how veterans, you become a veteran and you are a member of that warrior tribe and you come back, whatever your time in the military was, and you feel like you can't be a member of the non-warrior tribe, the civilian tribe or anything like that anymore, which gets back to what you guys were talking about, the ancient warrior ceremonies. And Matt, can you tell us what do you guys do? So the Vikings, Samurai, Templars, Spartans, and this could also, we don't have time to get in. So Matt and Mike, do you guys know about the Jedi Warrior program in the 80s that SF ran, the 10th group ran?
This is Matt. I'm familiar with the program.
Is this the men who stare at goats?
Yeah. Well, the movie came from that because it was kind of a anyways, I have that book if you want to borrow it sometime. Written by one of the PhDs that ran that program. About half the guys afterwards, it was like two team worth of guys, like 24 SF guys participated, and they did a lot of yoga and meditation and lots of different traditional martial arts and all this stuff, lots of meditation. And half the guys at the end were like, this sucks, I'm about to go crazy. And the other half of the guys were like, this is fucking cool. So it was about half and half of the 24 participants.
Was that like In Search of the Warrior Spirit? I think I've got that book somewhere.
Yeah, they were doing that.
His recounting of that. Yeah, he said some bought in and some were like, you can keep your, you know, your, you can shove this where the sun doesn't shine.
Right. So how do you guys, so like ancient warrior ceremonies and tapping into that, to add a little hua, a little testosterone. I mean, are bonfires involved or what? Because I know that, you know, I'm familiar with it. You know, the Vikings were big on welcoming back warriors from those raids and everything they did and helping them to kind of reacclimate and to transition back into the out of the raids. So how do you guys get at that?
Seth, this is Matt. Well, there's two big events. One we have with David Strabula, and that is kind of some sage, and it's kind of a cleansing of the the soul type people this age. It's kind of a ritualistic thing. We do some drumming and telling some stories. And that's really just to get people to share and open up and kind of give. And then the other big event we have is really the Leap of Faith. And there's this 40-foot pole that we have, and at the bottom you go through a moment of sharing and you try to get that level of forgiveness. You climb the 40-foot pole, and then you jump. And there's something about the adrenaline and the action of forgiveness, a positive emotion that kind of creates some stickiness. And we see such great results from the Leap of Faith. Those are two of our bigger events.
And then, Jeff,
yeah,
and Justin,
I,
just to kind of add on to that, you talked about the Vikings. One of the things we do after the Leap of Faith is we have an alumni dinner the following night. And it is become a constant problem that we keep running out of tables. We have so many alumni that come back, and it is kind of a feast welcoming them back. They've made that transition. They've left behind their old selves. And so it's kind of, as you said, getting them back into the tribe and making them feel welcome, that they have a place, that they have joined a new community, and that it is a vibrant community that people are invested in and come back each time. So that's another big one.
That's good. That's, you guys got a lot. I mean, drums, yoga, meditation, diet, letters to the dead, leaping off the 40-foot pole, ancient warrior ceremonies, labyrinths and mazes, and the initiation feast. That's a lot. That's a busy week, man. That's a busy week. So one thing that just popped into my mind is. So when I got off active duty, I was in 12th Special Forces Group for a while, and it was a reserve group, and the 11th and 12th are gone now. They deactivated them in the 90s. But one of the guys that was on my team had been in Vietnam as an SF guy, and several of us, he still had some issues from Vietnam, and several of us wanted him, I don't remember how it came up, wanted him to go see the wall when it was opened up, the Vietnam Wall in Washington, D.C., and several of us said, hey, we'll go with you, man. We'll take you. And he said, I can't go, and I'm not sure he's gone yet. But anyway, he said, I can't go because if I go, I got to face the beast. And so at first I was like, what the fuck is he talking about, man? Face the beast. But basically it was some kind of darkness in him from the war that he couldn't yet face, and that's basically what I think you guys are talking. You're trying to get the participants to face whatever beast is inside them that is tearing up the house. Would you say that's about right?
That's a very good point. And really in our program, we call it the shadow. And, the shadow isn't always the bad parts. I mean, we have different shadows based off of who we're talking to. I mean, think of the masks that you wear at work versus home, out with your friends.
Oh, yeah.
So we all know that there's these different shadows that we wear or masks, whichever you'd rather. But there's, especially for veterans or first responders, those with post-traumatic stress syndrome, I mean, there's a shadow that you don't show anybody. And so, yeah, it's kind of coming to grips with that and realizing you can face it and you're not going to get over it in 5 days. But right. We're going to put you on the path so you can. You're going to discover what it is for you because it's something different for everybody. For some people, it might be anger, others shame, regret.
Right.
And really, it's kind of helping them discover what that is, make it identifiable, and give them the skills and the tools and the community where they can face it and really kind of put it in its place so it doesn't go away, but it becomes manageable and a part of your life that you can look back on and learn from it instead of be ashamed of it.
Right. Well said. So somebody give us the website and the Facebook, how to find you guys again. Mike, you want to give us that?
It's going to be www.warriorsascent.org. And Facebook, Justin, correct me, same thing. You pull up Warriors Ascent and boom, there we are.
All right.
So we're
deal.
Easy to find, easy to talk to.
All right, so let me ask you this, and this is to all three of you. You can all three give, if you're going to give your elevator pitch to anybody that's listening, any veteran, male or female, or first responders, or anybody that's listening right now, what would you tell them? And they were interested but reticent, resistant, hesitant to get on the path. What would you tell them? Matt, go ahead. You go first.
You said to take two things. First, you know, I went through the program. It's really helped me change my life. I feel a lot more joy, and I have a much more positive attitude on things going forward. So I think it's just a great program. The other thing I'd say is, you know, we're trying to expand. So if you're another state or you're another city, you know, especially St. Louis, we'd like to get some more presence there. We're looking for alumni members. We want people to go through our program. So we're trying to do that recruiting thing right now. If you're in the state, Chicago, St. Louis, you know, New York, we want to bring you in and have you go through our program so we can start our alumni networks in those cities.
Cool. All right, Justin, give us your pitch.
Sure. You know, we've been talking for an hour, and if you've stayed with us that long, then I think that there's you either think this is something that might benefit me or someone that might benefit someone that I know. A lot of people that we all know someone that it's like, man, that guy's not doing well. He's on his third marriage, or he's drinking himself into the bottle, and we're pretty good at about triaging others, but we're horrible about triaging ourselves. You know, if
right.
your vehicle's involved in a car bomb, you guys don't get into the medic's truck in the order that you're going to get out. Doc does that for you. If this mm-hmm. is something that you think might call to you, then fill out an application. You're not signing a contract. You're just going to have a conversation to lead you down further the path. But the excuse someone is hurting more than me is not an excuse. And so please, you know, if it calls to you, visit the website.
All right. Well said. Mike, your turn.
You know, I would say, I would ask everybody that might be questioning themselves whether they're leading the life that they want, you know, and if they're falling short, they should take inventory of what's missing. And if they exhibit some of those five signs, if you know, they should kind of be introspective and say, well, maybe I need to make some changes. I would say second, ask a loved one. You know, an outside perspective is valuable. You know, have I changed? You know, am I angry? You notice, you know, whatever. You know, and sometimes that's all it takes is somebody to say, you know, you are not the same person you used to be. That's the first step. Number two would be, you know, again, I'll use the marketing, you know, feel, felt, found. You know, I know how you feel. You know, I and others who've been through the program, Justin, Matt, and all of the alum, know how you feel. You know, I and they too have, you know, felt similarly, you know, that you know, hey, I'm good. You know, there's really nothing the program's going to do for me. I'm either all over it or, hey, I'm doing just fine. Despite the fact that deep down you know that's not the case, or someone else will tell you otherwise. Bottom line is what we found is, hey, it's 5 days, it's free. And I will tell you, having seen it now 12, going on 13 iterations, I've yet to see somebody come out, you know, on the end of our program not better, not much better than when they entered. So, you know, I don't know what more to say.
Oh, outstanding. All right, well, that's it. That's it's about an hour. It's a little bit over. So I want to thank you guys, Mike Kinney, Justin Hoover, and Matt Nelson. Thanks for taking time to speak with us tonight. Appreciate it.
Jeff,
thank you, Jeff.
Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
All right, my pleasure, you guys.
We'll be in touch.
All right, man, I got to get back with you about a few things. So to all you listeners out there listening now and all you listening later, this is Jeffrey Armadillo, Mother Forker, saying be safe, sleep well, and out here.